Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast. My name is Mike Bloom, here to break down Episode 6, the final pre-merge episode of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. But, of course, I am not alone. I'm joined by a star-studded group as we bid a fond farewell to the pre-merge of Season 35. First, let's welcome back, as always, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just got back from my hometown date, which was a private concert on a boat with a hot tub and a miniature horse. Yeah, I normally try to tailor my intros to the guests, but I don't know anything about the Bachelor or Bachelorette. So these are the things that my friends told me to mention, especially the miniature horse was emphasized. And I got a rose, but I came up with that one myself.
All right. Well, now I have to turn immediately to the guest of honor, known for her work on the Bachelor and Bachelorette series here on Reality TV or Hap-Ups, as well as a bunch of other great stuff in the Rob Has a Podcast atmosphere. Haley Strong, welcome to the B&B. And how much does the miniature horse play into the overall Bachelor lore?
Into my personal Bachelor lore, it's the number one token to me personally. In the whole span of everything, would a normal human remember that? Probably not. But I've never claimed to be that person, mainly by having a podcast about the Bachelorette. It's pretty obvious that I am not a normal human. Anyways, the mini horse is great. Great reference. Liana, whoever told you to mention that, spot on. Tell them 10 extra friend points because great job.
Great job, Ryan.
So we have so much to get to in this episode 6. But first, as always on the B&B, we want to welcome in our guests by hearing a little bit about their specific affiliation with Survivor. Haley, I know you've been on a few Survivor shows up to this point, but I don't think I've ever really asked you when you got involved with the show, how you got involved with the show. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd say mine's not as cut and dry as most people you've had on. I didn't start day one. I didn't even start day seven or whatever. My first strong Survivor memory was staying up late, watching the Super Bowl, waiting for it to be over so I could watch the premiere of Survivor All-Stars. So I must have been some sort of fan prior to that, because why would I stay up late for that except to rebel against my parents? And then I definitely fell off after All-Stars. And then in university, I remember seeing the premiere episode of Heroes versus Villains and being like, oh, cool. I know who Colby is and I know who Jerry is. And then it was on Thursday nights. And I never had school Friday morning. So we always went out Thursday nights. So then I didn't watch a single other episode of that.
Yeah. Thirsty Thursday, much like Cole was very thirsty this episode in more ways than one.
Yeah. And then I was home one Christmas break and my brother still lived local, but I didn't. I live in Halifax, which is on the other side of the country from where I reside. And my brother had the finale of Survivor Nicaragua on the DVR. So he's like, Haley, just come watch this with me. I was like, OK, yeah, I used to like Survivor. So I watched the finale of Survivor Nicaragua. And I was like, oh, shit, I love this show. And then so I went and finished Survivor Nicaragua. And then between then, so that was December, January. Between then and April or May of that year, my brother and I had watched the entire series up to that point. So we finished all of it. And so Redemption Island was the first one I watched live. And my brother and my dad drove out east to pick me up from school at the end of that year. And my brother was like, Haley, I found this podcast. You have to listen to it. So I did on the way home. The first episode of Rob Has a Podcast I ever listened to was about the Jersey Shore.
Great gateway. And great gateway to RHAP.
Yeah, and that summer I went back and watched a couple seasons of Big Brother so that I could listen to the Big Brother coverage. And I went back and I listened to the whole catalog that summer. So it's been a long, winding road, and I ended up, in interns, and Rob has interns. I'm sure a lot of people kind of forgot about that existing. And then I ended up with my own podcast along the way. Someone was kind enough and bold enough to be like, hey, Haley, why don't you talk on the internet for people to listen to?
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that's going to hook you back on Survivor, the finale of Nicaragua is probably the best episode.
I was going to say, we need to hone in on the fact, not to be missed, that the thing that brought Haley back into Survivor was Fabio winning Survivor Nicaragua. I'm pretty convinced
right?
by that.
Like, wait, it makes no sense. So if I could get hooked by that episode, it was like, well, then what amazingness was I in store for? And it was pretty wild. And I watched the seasons kind of in a weird way. Like I went back and watched the rest of Nicaragua. And then I watched Heroes versus Villains. And then I watched Samoa. And then I went back and started one. And then I went all the way to 18.
So basically you started in the Russell Hanse era. And then you said, you know what? I might as well just start over from the beginning and see when he actually comes into play.
Yeah, it was like a really messy way of doing it, but.
Well, and it's funny because then also what got you hooked on RHAP was the Jersey Shore.
So really, very unconventional ways of getting into things. But actually, I'm really excited to hear your story just because I do feel like, and Leon and myself are probably in this category as well. There are a lot of people who were not even day one fans, but like they watched all the scenes, if not live, in order. But it seems like you obviously have a very odd viewing habit. I know this from talking about you with catching up on seasons of Top Chef or The Great British Baking Show or The Challenge. I think I like this sort of out of order methodology that you use. It's a fun way to sort of keep things in a scattered perspective that always keeps you on your toes, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's super messy, isn't it? And I got spoiled accidentally on a lot of the seasons while watching it. And that's not something that really, really bothers me. Like, I don't want to be spoiled for the season that's on right now. But if it was like a season that was on 10 years ago, it's kind of like, well, whatever. It's my, like, I don't care that much. So like, I remember I was able to watch a bunch of the seasons on YouTube, I think, in like pieces. And the one I was watching, like Cook Islands, and there was like a video of Yule on Regis and Kelly. And then that's what spoiled me to that he won. And I was like, oh, okay, well.
I could, what do you remember what Yule was talking about on Regis and Kelly? Like, what do you think that type of,
Yule's
super cool and the stuff that he's doing outside of Survivor is great, but I can't imagine with what we saw of him on the show, how that interview would have gone, especially with two people like Regis and Kelly.
I don't know. That should be the listener's homework this week. Try and find that video and tell us what happened in it.
I like that. I'm sure it was just so exciting. I mean, that combination of those three people, the conversation just must have been, I mean,
fire.
Amazing.
And not a fire challenge like Becky and Sandra.
Yeah, I'm sure they stayed on topic the entire time. Very akin to the RHAP B&B in terms of actually staying the course in terms of the conversation. Well, let's try to steer the conversation to the episode proper. And I know we usually sort of give our thoughts about the episode overall at the top of this podcast, but what I want to do is, you know, we have the pre-merge firmly in the rearview mirror as we're moving into the post-merge. I think the game itself is at least a third of the way through. I feel like this is a decent enough portion of time that has passed to really gather our thoughts about what we're thinking about the season overall as sort of represented maybe by this most recent episode that aired. Liana, let's start with you.
Oh man. All right. Hold on. Let me gather the thoughts. I dropped them on the ground. I think if I had to talk about my thoughts overall on the season, it's kind of, I was telling a friend of mine about this, but it sort of feels there's something off about the season for me. Like I really like it and I feel like it has all of the good pieces of a good Survivor season. You know, there's been idols, interesting characters, interesting gameplay. But maybe like, I don't know if maybe just my personal preferences for rooting for people on this season are maybe different than those of the community as a whole. Like, for example, I tweeted this out today, but JP is the person I am now rooting for, ironically, but still rooting for. I don't know. Like, Ryan bothers me as a character. Like, I think he's supposed to be the villain of this season. So it hasn't quite clicked for me. I'm still enjoying it, but you know, I felt better about Millennials v Gen X or Ko Rong, that I was excited for the season. Whereas this, I'm still excited and I still enjoy it, but there's something a little off for me. Mm-hmm.
Haley, do you share the similar sentiments?
Yeah, I do. And I'm waiting until after the merge to really make my judgment set in stone. I find often that is the more exciting part of the season. And a lot of the times the pre-merge is a little on the slower side. So it's hard to be like, this season sucks. And I know that because I've seen four episodes of it. Mm-hmm. And this has been a real whammy for me the last few weeks. My IRL friend Rourke got voted out. And then this week, my winner pick Allie got voted out. So it's been a real 1-2 punch for me. And I've never been good at going into things with absolutely no bias whatsoever. And I'm a Libra, so I can look at things from different perspectives. But I have like a personal vendetta against Ryan now. So that's where I'm at.
So the Reddit, the Survivor Reddit, the Circle Jerk, not the actual Survivor Reddit, but the Survivor Circle Jerk, Ryan is literally Satan. And that's how they refer to him. So Haley, if you need some support,
But I'm not there yet. I'm more just like, and I've seen both sides. I've seen like, oh, I hate Ryan. And I definitely had some of those tweets this week. So I'm not saying I'm not doing that. But also, like, I don't understand why everyone's mad at Ryan. He's just playing the game. It's like, bitch, I'm mad because I want to be mad. Like, if this show is not evoking emotion, then what the shit is the point?
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's also, you know, not to go too much into, like, the general internet thoughts about the season, but I actually do feel like that feeling of apathy is kind of felt by a good portion of the community. Again, not all, I'm assuming, you know.
But like, they feel that every season.
Well, that's the point that Liana was making last week as well. But I'm looking at, you know, some people who are, it doesn't seem like there are many people who hate the season. I feel like the general opinion that
the whole Survivor community is a bunch of whiners. I am one of them. I love whining.
And dining.
Yes, and at the same time, preferably. Now, I don't have any snacks with me because I didn't want to eat into the microphone. But I think we all need to settle down for 15 minutes and see what the rest of the season brings, because oftentimes it's like everyone hates the pre-merge, and it's, well, because it's the freaking pre-merge and it doesn't really matter that much yet.
First of all, how dare you telling me to be calm? I will not be calm.
I will not be calm either.
That's a very like Debbie Wanner like mentality of just like, are you like stewing right now, Liana, waiting to walk across this podcast balance beam?
And I'm pissed.
Princess Haley's here.
Woo!
Oh my goodness. Yes, I have my tiger bathing suit on as well, so I'm going full Debbie.
Well, what I will say is that, you know, admittedly, I might come in from a different, I might have my own biases. You know, I'm not a Libra, but I do adore that part of you, Haley. I might be a little
adore.
I might be a little. Thank you for the Drag Race people that might not have heard it in the back of the podcast auditorium. I might be a little biased in that, you know, this is my first season getting to do exit interviews with these people, and I have been I really genuinely liked getting to talk with each and every person that I've spoken with so far. So I'm just really liking this cast. And again, I'm the type of person that watches Survivor for the people over the players, if we're sort of comparing how we might view castaways. And so from a personal level, I'm really enjoying what's happening so far. I feel like for the most part, we've really gotten to see everyone get involved in some sort of storyline, which considering the past two seasons have been 20 person seasons, we really do not usually get that, especially in lieu of these bigger merges. Now, does that mean that everyone has a good chance of winning? No, but I'm always excited about Survivor seasons where each person kind of has involvement in some sort of storyline throughout the course of the season. And it looks like at this point that we're getting to that level. And that makes me happy because it's sort of like compounding my interest of the fact that both I like these people and these people are being shown to me, so I like them even more because of that.
I'd say for Allie, I feel like we've seen a lot of her in this pre-merge, so it was almost like a surprise that she went home this early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people have gotten so much content, and I agree with you, Mike. I think that's good, and I really like the cast as a whole. There's people that I love, there's people that I dislike, so you know, it is like I do like the cast, and I'm happy that we've been able to see so much of them and see things that we, you know, especially as a as opposed to Game Changers, which felt just very rushed, and this is, you know, we're getting to see some storylines that are going to play out for more than just an episode or two, and I think that that's really nice.
And I think one of the other things that I'm excited about, and this will sort of segue into our next segment of these, you know, preseason predictions, is that I feel like, at least, you know, in a microcosm of my own predictions, I feel like whatever we thought was going to happen has been completely obliviated. You know, Allie's a great example, as you mentioned, Haley, of someone who, not to get into the edgic of it all, but she was getting a lot of screen time. As you said, she was involved in a lot of stories. It seemed like she was really poised as someone to go far. And to have her go out as the last person before the pre-merge is actually a little shocking. And I like that. I like when, you know, the show does unconventional things that people are not, you know, then you have people on the in the forums of social media saying like, oh, that was predictable. Oh, you know, this always happens to X, Y, and Z types of Survivor contestants. To have them do this type of thing, I was really excited by. I really enjoyed the episode overall. I think I would agree with Rob's assessment on the know-it-alls that this might be my favorite episode of the season so far. And part of it might have just been because it was such an interesting outcome at that tribal council.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think it kind of made sense. I mean, I guess that there's the whole, oh, okay, well, what's Ryan thinking? Because it was pretty obvious that JP and Chrissy were probably going to vote together. But maybe, yeah, maybe just because I expected Ryan to do something along these lines. I'm still waiting. I'm still missing the dominant Patrick alliance and his pocket crabs, which should have persevered throughout the season, but that's fine.
In an alternate universe. He let his fears get to him, and that's really what happens. So let's get to our preseason predictions here as we talk about Allie. Liana, within the narrative of the Patrick-helmed dominant alliance, how did Allie fall into your predictions ultimately?
Okay, so I had Allie making the finale and actually making the final three. So, Allie, this is what I had written for Allie. She survives the early game by being the most average of the hustlers. Sorry, Ryan. And not making any waves. At the merge, she pairs back up with the dominant Patrick alliance. However, when that alliance topples, she's the sole remainder because she's she's perceived as a non-threat. However, she'll only receive one jury vote out of pity or possibly bitterness towards other finalists. Sorry, Allie, you didn't do much, and I can't wait to see how CBS tries to edit you as a real threat to win. And then in all caps, I just wrote, they call it the remainder. That's the number that remains.
Oh, so my God. So for those that might not know what that's a reference to, I think it came up around like the Big Brother Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a commercial.
Yeah, it was a commercial for, I think it's like a tablet, a Microsoft tablet. And there's this crazy teacher who's teaching kids about math through the way of rap, and they always kept showing him doing this one rap line. They call it the remainder. That's the number that remains. And for some reason they kept using that clip and airing it over and over and over and over and over again, and so it just gets ingrained in your head. It's like a Schoolhouse Rock that sucks.
Oh my God, it was awful. So yeah, I think because I wrote the sole remainder, I wrote they call it the remainder, that's the number that remains. Oh man,
that's marketing at its best effort. It's ingrained in your head. It's not getting out of there.
I guess I got to buy a tablet now. But yeah, just like I wrote this when Big Brother was ending and this stupid commercial was stuck in my head. Oh, God.
Haley, are you aware of this commercial whatsoever? Does Canada have that equivalent of those commercials? Is it the treasured moments or whatever when you learn about Canada's history, like the guy who came up with Winnie the Pooh and made up basketball?
Yeah, those are the what are they called again? I can't even remember, but yeah, we have, I'm not sure what commercial you're talking about, TBH, because A, I gave up on Big Brother in August, and B, I would always watch it the next day commercial free
smart
on my laptop. Heritage Moments, that's what they're called.
They call it the Heritage Moment. That's the Heritage Moment that remains. Nope.
I would say that makes less sense, but it's about on equal footing, awful. Which is ironic because in my prediction, I actually am on equal footing with Liana. I also had Allie not only making the finale, but also making the final three. Here's what I had to say. Allie will be regarded as one of the weaker members of the Hustlers tribe physically, but she'll be granted a respite when there are bigger fish to fry, or catch in the case of Lauren. When she gets to the merge, she'll get brought along as a solid number with the majority. Unfortunately, her game of being in the middle ground will not play well with the jury, who don't feel that she did enough to earn the win. So I guess I was going for like maybe like a Sherry Beetham, like one of those people who just sort of sticks as a number with the majority over the course of the merge. She makes the finals, but isn't really respected for her position. And actually, it might be ironic considering that like Sherry also, I remember, got a very strong edit in the pre-merge of Karamoan, and then just sort of like disappeared and got completely negated. So I guess I was predicting a similar path for Allie without even realizing it.
I like it. I think it's funny to go back and reread these and find like what our jokes were at the time, like what we were thinking about at the time.
It's like a time capsule.
or what commercial you were watching, apparently.
Oh yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Because I was trying to think, I was like, most average of the Hustlers. I was like, oh right, because Ryan and all his pregame stuff said he was going to be the most average, and that's how he was going to make it far. I was like, so this is going to age real well.
Yeah, and I wrote middle ground because like Allie said, that was her game plan, was to always be just like Ryan, to be in the middle of everything. So Haley, I mean, we were both very much off the mark on this one, but as the guest, you get to be the one to judge who had the better prediction of how Allie would ultimately do or not do in this case.
It's really hard because you basically both had the same fate for her. Can I give you half a point each?
Aww.
That's like the end of, I was going to say, we do the end of Miss Congeniality and just take the tiara and break it up?
Yeah, that's Mean Girls.
Oh, that's Mean Girls, right. Yeah. I was going to say Desi, I don't know if Desi would like that anyway.
Well, I don't know. There's a remainder because it's a half, so maybe we can call it, as long as we call it the remainder because it's the number that remains, then yeah, maybe we can take a tie on this one.
Okay, so the total count so far is Liana has 4, I have 1, and we each have a remainder, whatever that means. Thanks, teacher.
Nice.
You're welcome.
And I will say, I'll take this moment as well to sort of acknowledge my exit interview with Allie. I think something that has always really interested me about Survivor is, weirdly enough, I don't know how exactly to put it, like the emotional elements. I don't necessarily mean like the family visitor, like Ben's scene from last week, which gets you all verklempt and choked up. I guess I mean like the idea of playing with other people and getting your emotions involved. And I was really happy that in my interview with Allie on Parade, I was able to really get to, for lack of a better term, the heart of the matter, because she really talked a lot in her final words about like using her head versus using her heart. And so we touched upon that theme a lot, and it seemed like the one thing that Allie was really able to grasp, but that's the difference from, you know, just being a super fan sitting on the couch and actually playing in there, was getting your feelings involved, is making bonds with people, then realize like, oh crap, I have to lie to them. And I don't think she realized that with people like Ryan and Chrissy selling her a bill of goods to her face, she thought they were, you know, treating her the same way she was treating them, but it turned out not to be the case whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I do every time here on the B&B. I just pretend I'm nice.
I don't even want to know what you're talking about me behind my back.
Oh girl, Mike, you heard about that?
And maybe one of the reasons why I liked Allie so much is because I feel like that's kind of how I would play too. Like I'd go into it being like, oh, I could play with my head, and then my emotions would just get way too into it, and that's just something I'm not able to turn off, and I know that about myself, and I know that would make me a weak player on one of these shows, which is why I'm never going to go on one of them.
Oh, never say never.
Yeah, you want to be on the Jersey Shore. I think that also when you're talking about emotion, it's not just emotion of, you know, you get invested in people and you want to work with people, but then also when you get betrayed, you also have emotional investment in that. And so mm-hmm. It kind of can go both ways of sort of you making moves in the game and then you having moves made against you. What's hard is that when you're going and you're playing the game of Survivor, you know, you have to be able to play with people that you can trust. And trust is not really, I mean, you can say, okay, they voted with me this time. You can lay out some logic to it, but really, I feel like it's a gut feeling, and that's ultimately an emotion. And so they're intertwined. And, you know, sometimes, especially when we talk about strategy and we think about the game bots and sort of being able to devolve the two and just play with your head, you know, you can't do that. You do have to consider all the emotion because that's part of it. I mean, part that remains.
My sincerest emotion that's connected with Allie as well is the fact that we will never see her red Michael Jackson-esque jacket again. I believe she walked out with it. So no scene of Ryan deciding to put it on and try to rep it to the new merge tribe, unfortunately.
Rest in peace, jacket.
That's fine.
Yes, only about 8 years after Michael Jackson passed away, now his jacket goes with him into the Fijian wilderness. All right, let's move into the actual fun and games element itself. Liana, where are we starting?
Yeah, so we are going to play a game talk about stuff in reference to something that Haley brought up earlier, and that is your famous snack chats.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Do you maybe want to describe this to people who aren't familiar with snack chats?
What did I get myself into coming on this?
You knew exactly. We've had 5 weeks to prepare. You've heard us talking about so many butts and big fingers. You knew you were facing it. Like we said on Ali's show, B&B is a mirror to society. So you knew exactly what you were getting into. You were getting into yourself.
You're right. I did. Snack chat for the uninitiated. I like food and I like to talk about food. And I started this thing a couple years ago where I got people to send me on Snapchat or on Twitter or wherever pictures of the snacks they were eating during Survivor. And that was Snack Chat.
Yes. So based on that, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the food rewards that have been on Survivor this season and a couple other fun ones from previous seasons. Yes. And this, much like Buff or Snuff, we are going to either snap or scrap.
Oh my God. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So it's up to us to decide whether or not we would take a Snapchat of this food reward item, or we would scrap it and quietly eat it by ourselves and not let anyone know because it's embarrassing.
Yeah, or just give it to Cole because apparently he's like a trash compactor of a man in terms of nutrition.
Oh my God, I know. I was so impressed with him eating the rice laying down. I was like, that is impressive, sir. So anyway, all right, the first
reward... Wait, that's what you were impressed with by Cole?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, his ability to somehow, like... I think he missed the shelter when he fainted. That was pretty impressive. Like, or did he hit his head?
I thought he hit his face off of it.
I'm pretty sure he did smack the side of his face on that bamboo in that pretty scary fall.
And, like, slight aside, I know that Dr. Mike was there and Nurse Jessica was there. But where was the rest of the Survivor medical team? Like, I feel like there's a liability issue there, and that the production doctor isn't going to check on them, you know?
Yeah, well, budgets are tight. So that's actually why Dr. Mike was put on this season. So he's actually there to operate in place of Dr. Joe.
Cool.
Yeah, he's actually on salary. Dr. Joe is like a genie. He can only come out three times a season. That's why he only came out three times during Ko Rong. So I feel like you don't want to use him up now when you might have three other chances in the post-merge to check on people. Then you're left up the creek without a paddle.
Right.
Or up the crook without a paddle.
No. Look, he's gone home now, Mike. Okay.
By the way, happy Halloween, everyone.
Oh my gosh. So let's get into Snap or Scrap. The first reward that we're going to talk about is the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and those greasy chips that were a reward a couple episodes ago. So what do we think? Are we going to snap this or are we going to scrap this? Mike, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I love me some PB&J. I was an extremely picky eater as a child, and PB&J was pretty much what I subsisted on, which allowed me to look as malnutritioned as I am today. Never gave up that habit. My stopping point here are the chips. Mm-hmm. I'm personally somebody who actually, this might be a hot take, I'm actually not a big fan of potato chips just because I feel like Well, I feel like for me, it's like, I don't know if it's the grease or if it's something else, but like once I eat a certain amount, my stomach just does not want that to be in my system anymore. But of course, it's like the point of no return. So I'm trying not to bring in my own biases, my anti-chip biases into this. But the PB&J, arguably, there might have been an argument of like, okay, it doesn't matter. Why should Yawa have to get like a lifetime supply of it, considering how much this stuff is not necessarily the most, or these are some perishable goods, but Cole made quick work of that jam in the course of a few days, so I'm going to snap it.
No wonder your stomach made you sick with the chips. You subsisted on nothing but peanut butter and jelly. Your body didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah, okay, wait, can we talk about young Mike Bloom's diet here for a second? It was peanut butter and jelly, skinless chicken breast that I referred to as pink chicken.
Ew!
Why? Was it not cooked?
I might not have been. Because I probably like insisted that it had to be cooked to a certain temperature.
Ew.
I could only eat ziti with butter, but the ziti could not have lines on it or I would throw a temper tantrum.
What?
Yeah, I didn't eat a vegetable until I was probably like 9 years old, to be completely honest.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm a young Peter Brown.
Oh my goodness.
I feel
you
ill
poor
now.
Child. Oh my God. Okay, well, Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad you're alive and you don't have some sort of weird deficiency or suffer from scurvy or anything like that. So good on you, Mike. Haley, what do you think about the peanut butter and jelly?
Oh, I am snapping the hell out of this. When I saw it on the screen, somebody who is completely well-fed, I was like, ooh, I could go for some PB&J and some chips right now. Like, that sounded delicious. And that bag, it was, like, so greasy. Ugh. Oh, my God. Ugh, it looked so good.
So, okay, I would snap it, but I would have to take the chips out of the bag. For some reason, the greasy bag was gross to me. Like, Haley, you seem to like it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Well,
gross.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Oh, well, you love greasy things. Is that your aesthetic?
Yeah, it is. And I probably might have put some of the chips on the sandwich.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Like, that's a thing. Sometimes people put potato chips on sandwiches.
I would only do that if it was like a sandwich with meat in it. I'm all good for like salty and sweet, but I feel like on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that does not mix to me. Though again, I'm coming from the realm of pink chicken, so yeah, who am I to really register complaints there? Yeah,
you don't count, Mike.
Please stop saying that.
Yeah, it sounds like some sort of euphemism for something.
Yeah, no one looked that up on Urban Dictionary.
You guys are winning the pink chicken.
All right, speaking of pink chicken, we're now going to talk about the first place chickens and or the eggs. Would you Snapchat a picture of chickens/eggs? Haley, what do you think?
Like, am I eating them after?
Well, you have to kill it yourself, I think.
Okay, no. I'm not...
You wouldn't snap a picture of a chicken?
Here's the thing, and I know this is twisted. I am not a vegetarian, but something about the idea of seeing the animal in front of me and then consuming it and knowing that I knew that animal, that weirds me out.
That's fair.
The eggs I totally could eat. That'd be fine. I'd be like, cool. That I know where my food came from. Like, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but to be being friends with that chicken and then eating it, I don't think I could do.
But would you snap it?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Haley Kappenberg. Really appreciate that insight there. All right. I have to think about this because, I mean, I do love chicken,
obviously.
It's one of the foods that I've held closest to me. It's one of the only foods I've held closest to me. But at the same time, here's another fun food fact about Mike Bloom. I think I'm allergic to eggs, but I still like to eat them, being very masochistic in that regard. But with a swollen tongue, I will snap it.
How are you not dead, Mike?
That's a very deep question, and there are many, many situations where there was a key juncture in the road where I took the road last traveled by, and that meant life for some reason. So I'm just going to keep living by that mentality and hope I make it to a suitable age.
Okay, well, good luck with the eggs in your EpiPen. I think if I had to give an answer... So here's the story. My mother has moved homes, and she can no longer have her chickens outdoors. So she's keeping her chicken inside.
Wow.
And much to the chagrin of her husband, the chicken now lives in the main house with everyone else. And the other day, I got a picture from my mom of she had dressed the dogs up and then she dressed the chicken up. My mom drew eyebrows with makeup on the chicken and put the chicken in like a little scarf.
I need you to send me this photo I want to see nothing more in my entire life than
a chicken with eyebrows painted on it. I'm learning so many things, by the way. Apparently, Haley's related to Kimmy Kappenberg, and Liana is related to Tai Trang. I didn't know that we had so many deep survivor connections, familiarly speaking.
Seriously, and the chicken, like, hangs around with my mom and, like, sits on my mom's shoulder and stuff. My mom is Tai. They're pretty much the same person. Anyway, so based on that, I would Snapchat a picture of the chicken, but I wouldn't eat it because my mom would kill me.
But instead of killing the chicken, would you then suggest to the tribe, no, let's draw funny things on it while the chicken's asleep?
Then I would snap it.
Only if we can give it like little booties and a babushka also, because apparently that's part of chicken attire.
Wait, why are you dressing the chicken like a Russian peasant?
Why wouldn't you?
Ask my mom. Yeah, why wouldn't you? Exactly. It's very judgmental of you, Mike. You can go back to eating your pink chicken and peanut butter and jelly.
It's good for what ails you. I'm just telling you.
That's right. Okay, so now we have to get to the classic Survivor pizza. This has been talked about nonstop as being not that great. Now, would you snap it? Mike, are you taking a picture of this?
It's tough because I'm also sort of contextualizing this within the history of Survivor pizzas, which I will say, and whether it's due to the conditions or whatever, I mean, even, you know, John David Wright talked about this when he was on Rob, but the recap this past week, pizza and Survivor just doesn't really connect from both an aesthetic perspective and an actual taste perspective. But maybe it's just because I just finished watching Token Chains for Survivor Historians. But I don't know if you remember, Haley, but partly because it was in the downpouring rain, that pizza looked pretty jank. So I think comparatively, maybe it's just like the grass is always greener and hopefully the pizza isn't. I'm going to snap it.
Or like this. Haley, what about you? You agree?
Yeah, I'm going to snap it, but I'm going to snap me shotgunning the pizza like Allie did.
Oh, that's smart. I think I would. I think I'd snap it as well. I think I'd have to add some sort of filter or like my little Bitmoji along the side to distract from how awful the pizza looks.
Great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's key.
How do you feel about the first place reward, by the way, of like
amazing?
It was like 10 pizzas versus one pizza.
10 pizzas for four people. That's hilarious.
I also like this idea. I like the one pizza that I think Yawa got, because I sort of like this idea of like all of them, like, I don't know, like Ben and Dr. Mike, like Lady and the Tramping it, like eating at different ends of the pizza and then meeting in the middle. That sounds really cute.
Aw, that's so romantic.
I think my biggest thing about the reward, though, was that the winning team also got Pop. And I feel like if I was on Survivor, that would be the thing I missed the most. Like, I would crave Pop like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always, you know, you always kind of forget about the drinks, you know, that kind of go along with it. Now, speaking of drinks, we're going to talk about two different rewards from Survivor Australia and Survivor Palau. Now, I picked these out because they have something in common. The Survivor Australia reward, Kucha won Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Doritos.
And in Survivor Palau, Oolong won Pringles and Mai Tais. So if you won all four of those, Pringles, Doritos, Mountain Dew, and Mai Tais, and you were having them for your Survivor snack chat, would you snap a picture of these items? Haley, are Pringles something you would want to take a picture of?
Now, I have a story about Pringles.
Does your mom dress them up and draw eyebrows on them?
No. My dad is obsessed with Pringles, but just the salt and vinegar ones. I swear to God, he goes through 5 cans a week at least.
I'm already feeling disgusted just thinking about that. No offense to your father.
Oh no, I'm shocked he's not dead yet, to be perfectly honest with everyone.
Oh well, maybe I admire him then, considering we are now in the same boat of people who should be dead at this point due to our dietary habits.
I was gonna say, Mike, that sounds like your eating habits.
Yeah, really. He eats so many, it's like absurd. A couple summers ago, they had like promotions where you could send tabs in for like the ripoff tabs. You can send them in for prizes. He got a t-shirt. We have 2 Pringles beach towels. Like, we have all this Pringles stuff because he eats so many Pringles. I also, sorry about me, I didn't really like Doritos until pretty recently, and even then, like, I'm never gonna reach for a bag of regular Doritos unless they're sitting directly in front of me. Then I will eat the entire bag. I have made my proclamations known for my love of Bold Barbecue Doritos, which are not available in the States, which is a travesty, truly, because they are the best kind. And I doubt they're going to be the Bold Barbecue on this reward. And Mountain Dew is pure garbage. I would probably just open that up and pour it on the ground because it sucks. But Mai Tais, give me like 400 Mai Tais and I'm happy.
Give you 400 Mai Tais and you're dead. That's really what it comes down to.
Best death ever, am I right?
We all need some sort of nutritional education, I think. Maybe that should be the theme.
Mai Tais have fruit in them.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you won't get scurvy. Only Mike will.
Yeah, so I could skip on the Mountain Dew, the Doritos, and the Pringles. Just give me the Mai Tais.
Okay, that's fair. You can crop the picture. That's allowed. Mike, yeah. What about you?
I don't know about Mountain Dew because I'm not about to sit down on my computer and play like 22 hours of Dota and inject Mountain Dew into my veins.
Well, and the Doritos are for that also.
And Doritos, I'm still sort of a picky eater. I don't like flavored chips. Oh God, I sound like
what
such
is
a,
wrong with you?
I'm
you
so
don't.
Weird.
What does that even mean? You don't like flavored chips? What does that mean?
I like them plain.
Oh my God, you're the person that buys the like hint of salt.
Oh, these chips are too salty for me. Why can't they just be pure potato? Like, is that what you do? You like bite into a potato and be like, great chips.
It probably wouldn't hurt my stomach as much.
It would hurt your stomach way more, I think. Eating a potato.
Oh, I haven't tried it yet. That might be my next nutritional test. So I don't know about the Doritos. What I will say about the Pringles is I believe the Oolong tribe received a special type of Pringles chips that had survivor trivia on it. And the survivor nerd in me could not resist an opportunity to read out so many, probably 50 questions, probably 30 of which the answer was Rupert in some way, shape, or form. So maybe sort of like how Haley was going for the Mai Tais, I'm going to gun for the Pringles and snap that and maybe scrap everything else.
Okay, I guess I'll fill in. I'll take the Mountain Dew and Doritos just to, you know, I'm going to be playing WoW and Dota.
That's the food that remains.
Later, that's the food that remains. I'll also have to take it because so in the same way that Haley's dad eats Pringles, my dad consumes Mountain Dew. Like he doesn't drink coffee. He drinks Mountain Dew instead.
Wow.
Also, surprise! Yeah, this is what everybody needs education when it comes to eating.
Welcome
right.
to the We Are Surprised Your Dads Are Alive podcast.
Yeah, this is definitely
this is
not
like
morbid.
The most depressing podcast ever. This week, wow, our dads are still alive. Woo.
Nice check in. Yeah, well, for someone that doesn't like flavored chips, Mike, all right, like sit down. So I think I would take a snap. I'll take a snap of the Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Oh, this chip has too much flavor for me.
Oh, is your stomach hurting, Mike?
Oh.
You can text my wife after this, Haley, about my chip eating habits.
I truly cannot wait.
It's exactly that. I'm so lame.
Mike, did I bring chips when I came to stay with you?
No, I think you brought us candy and cookies. So you were right in our wheelhouse there.
Oh, okay, cool. Because sometimes I'll bring a bag of ketchup chips, but I couldn't remember if I did. You know, I don't think I did because I only brought my backpack and I didn't have enough room for chips.
Well, Mike would have been very offended. He would have probably just tossed you back out on the street if you had shown up with ketchup chips.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't now.
You made the right choice, yeah. Haley. I've had ketchup chips before. I've had all dressed chips and they're pretty good. But again, this is coming from someone who is an anti-flavored chip fanatic.
Liana, when you were here in Canada, did you try any of our chip flavors?
I don't think I did. I'll have to make sure. I'll have to put that on my to-do list for next time.
And suffice it to say, we also forgot the fact that any of these chips can also carry secret advantages as well. It's want to do on
Survivor.
Yeah,
you don't
want
to snap that, though. That's bad. Unless, I guess, Cole would probably snap it.
Yeah, absolutely. He put it on his story.
Right. Okay, well, that's all I have for Snap or Scrap, although I do have to give an honorable mention of something that you may snap or scrap, depending on how you feel. But in New Zealand Survivor, this past season, they had one reward. Haley, did you watch that season?
No, I did not. Feel free to spoil it for me, though. I don't care.
Okay, yeah, this is a big deal. This
Tell
was
me
a
wins.
Reward. Well, the melted chocolate wins, because they essentially, their reward was just a bag of chocolate. But the chocolate, it's obviously outside in, where was it? Nicaragua. Nicaragua. And it just melted. And so they just got this like really gross bag of melted chocolate as a reward. Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
Awful. Ugh. They're like licking it out of the plastic bag. Ugh.
That's disgusting and I love it. I want to give two honorable mentions myself to some snap or scrap.
Mm-hmm.
I would snap the pineapple Ritas in Survivor. What was that?
I think it was Cagayan when they went to the Outback Reward.
Yeah. I would snap the shit out of that. And I would scrap any coffee reward.
You're very Ryan-like in that regard.
So I can imagine after like 2 weeks of not eating very much and iced coffee, like that would probably send me off the edge.
Well, hopefully that's one of the times that Dr. Joe can come and take a look at you from his 3 prescribed visits to the drive.
Yep, exactly. You have to check it off. But let's check that segment off and let's move into the next one. Now, aside from being a snack fan, Haley, you're also known, as we mentioned before, for your coverage of The Bachelor and Bachelorette here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. So we're going to segue into a little bit of connecting The Bachelor franchise to Survivor 35. To start it off, I have a fantastic introduction clip, as The Bachelor is wont to do for their seasons, composed by the fantastic Shannon Gates, whose prolific song parodies you can hear with Will from America every week on The Wiggle Room on the RHAP main feed. Let's listen to what Shannon has to say as she brings us into the world that combines Survivor and The Bachelor.
Stay tuned for exciting highlights from this season of The Bachelorette. This season, it's an unbelievable romantic adventure.
I think Jessica is super cute.
Everyone else, I'm like, when I talk to him, I'm not smiling when I talk to him.
I move like a slug when it comes to romance. Like, I don't even know if I know what romance means.
To be honest, I come from a super religious background, and I am a virgin.
Might as well be hooking up and being a couple, you know what I mean? Might as well take advantage of everything.
JP is becoming, like, dreamier and dreamier as the days go on.
I feel like I do have a shot with Jessica after our outing today. She just showed me more of herself, and I kept liking it. There wasn't anything that I could find wrong with her, honestly. And so I was defining her as my dream girl, I guess.
My face feels red thinking about him thinking about me.
I'm scared of crabs.
It's my prerogative on who I tell what I have, you know?
He hurt me. Whether he meant to or not, he did. But I would never admit that to him. When I get hurt, I always wonder, was it me? And did I choose to form a relationship with someone that I just shouldn't have? And that's why I got hurt.
Find out tonight when The Bachelorette season premiere continues.
That's a good size, JP.
Oh my God. That was,
Shannon.
My version of Disneyland.
Aww. It's a small world after all.
I can't imagine what rides are in that version.
I don't want to know either. Definitely have to check it for those crabs.
This is an interesting connection because I feel like we've got a lot of rampant romances. I mean, Liana and I talked about this with Megan Z a few weeks ago with the Mad Libs that quickly went off the rails. But it seems like we do have a lot of like power couple and crushing flying about across the tribe members of the people that are left here in Survivor Triple H. So I figured what we could do is we can go through some of these people that are still left in the game. And Haley, I want you to think of, if they were on a Bachelor or Bachelorette season, what would their limo entrance be? How does that sound?
Ooh, I like this.
Well, so the limo entrance is, so okay, so this is when you're trying to make your first impression, right? On yeah. The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Okay.
Yeah, like this is the first time they're seeing you.
Okay. Okay. I got it.
Well, let's start with the young man who was the subject of that last little, I guess you call it like one of those like post-credit scene that they sometimes do in The Bachelor. I feel like that clip at the end was sort of that version of that, who also came into prominence as the possible target as Soko went to their second tribal council. Haley, how do you think JP would make his limo entrance if he were on the franchise?
I think JP would come out in like fireman pants and like the suspenders, but no shirt on.
I think he's also holding a lobster, like, cause he's the provider, right? So he wants to like show that he can provide. Is that a thing? Do people show up on The Bachelor with lobsters?
I've seen a dude show up with a lamp.
Okay.
And didn't someone also show up dressed up as something you might catch?
Venereal disease? No, I've never seen that.
The more important question is, what do you think JP's first line would be, considering that even Jeff called him out on him being on his vagaries at Tribal Council?
I laughed so hard at this. That line where Jeff Probst turns to Allie and he's like, JP gave a really interesting answer to a very specific question by saying nothing. And I was like, Probst, have you heard JP talk? there is content in the things that JP says, but you just have to work through all of the other little, you know, and well, you know, we're gonna have to work on that. And the competition today, well, just didn't go very well.
And stuff like that. Like,
and things like that. Oh my God, it's so funny. I don't know what he would say.
Who knows? Let's move on to another person. Haley, What do you think Devin's limo entrance would be like?
Oh, this is tough. I think Devin would just like be confident in himself that he wouldn't need some sort of like weird limo entrance. He'd just be like, "Hi, I'm Devin," and then the woman would be like, "Oh, hi," like because he's a babe.
He is. He's my favorite of the Golden Boys.
He has like, such nice posture too. Ugh, those shoulders.
Well, I mean, I think he's trying to show something off with that posture. We remarked on the height of his pants many times over the course of this season. Do you think Devin would be the type to wear a suit to the limo entrance?
Yeah, but like no tie and top button undone. But still tucked in.
He's too cool. He's too cool for a tie.
Any idea for a first line?
"Hi, I'm Devin. Let's make out immediately." That would work on me.
I could see it.
That would work on you. "Hi, I'm Devin. Let's make out immediately."
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Oh, what if I give the line of "Hi, I'm Mike. I can only eat noodles with no lines and skinless chicken breast."
Okay, I'd be like, "I'm sorry,
my stomach gets upset when I eat."
That is like one of my red flags is like a really picky eater. I couldn't do it.
Yikes! This doesn't bode well. Yeah, did you lead with that, Mike, when you met Angela?
When I met Angela, I led with that, and that's why she did not want to hook up with me for 3 years until after we met.
Ah, yes. We can learn many things from you, Mike.
Absolutely. Just do everything. Don't do what Donnie Don't does. All right, let's move on to our next limo entrance. Haley, how would Cole's limo entrance go?
Ooh, he would get out of the limo and faint and then like roll and pop back up, kind of like Willy Wonka, and be like, "Yo, I'm Willy fine."
Oh man, does he have a cane though?
Sure, why not? That sounds like something he would do.
But now I have this image of like Cole being this sort of young Willy Wonka figure throughout his time in the house, which would be great. Like he takes everyone on like a nature hike and he gets people lost in this dark, scary woods and he just starts singing, "There's no earthly way of knowing."
Yes, that is perfect.
Well, and he needs a lot of food, so obviously he's into candy.
Totally.
Wait a minute. Is Cole young Willy Wonka? Did we just stumble upon a theory?
Oh my
here?
God. This is another mystery unearthed by the B&B. I'm really proud of us, gang.
The Coley man can.
Oh my goodness.
What would be a good first line from Cole?
God, I don't know. Does he say things?
I mean, he's been pulling out some gems in front of Jessica, like the secret scene this week with him and Dr. Mike and Jessica, which is great. I think it shows a great sort of place that Jessica has in their alliance where she's definitively like the middle point between Dr. Mike and Cole. But Cole like has this moment where he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get caught staring at you."
I mean, I guess he could go with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably some along the lines of what he would go with.
Or something of like, "Hi, I'm Cole and you're super cute."
Yeah.
You're super cute.
Super cute.
"And I'm super cute. Let's be super cute together."
All right, let's move on to somebody who admittedly does not have a lot of experience in the romantic field as much as the other three guys, but he's still going to try to make an appearance here. How would Ryan's limo entrance go, Haley?
I don't think he'd enter in the limo. I think he'd ride up on one of those really tall, old-timey bicycles.
Tricycles?
Yeah.
And then he'd try to sell it?
Yeah, he'd have like a top hat and monocle and be like, "Well, welcome to 1856, ma."
What?
I don't know. He just seems I could just see him in like a black and white movie.
He's actually, oh my gosh, he's Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Another mystery solved. As long as they have turtlenecks, I think he just has to be wearing a turtleneck, right? That's like his thing.
Oh yeah, he totally would be able to do that with like a blazer over top.
But would his first line be, "I'm ready to neck"?
Ew.
Ew.
I think it would be like, "Gross, hello, m'lady." Like, I think he'd be one of those guys.
Right, because he's from the 1800s, right?
Yeah, so exactly. He's talking about, Ulysses S. Grant and how great he's being as president.
Man, this is really taking an odd step. Yeah, I think Ryan then would also have to make some sort of sexual innuendo, because I think he does that a lot. So he was the one
that brought up was it him or Chrissy that brought up the trunk, full of wood in JP's Optimal First Date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the trunk full of wood. Yeah, that was definitely right.
Haley, do you have any other people from this season that you want to sort of talk through what their limo entrance might be?
I'm going to give Alan Ball. He's definitely throwing a football to the girl.
Would she catch it?
No. Who else? Okay, girl-wise, I think Jessica would just saunter up. All these girls are really normal and, like, cool people. So I can't see any of them doing something weird, except Katrina. She'd probably do something weird, like wear, like, a full denim dress or something.
Oh, man, I heard denim is really in, though, in, what, the late 1990s. So she's really just channeling that.
Would her first line be like, hey, I'm Katrina, and I'm not just keen on you, I'm Jean on you.
Ew.
That would work on me.
Oh, good to know.
All about the denim. Let's scratch that. Take that away. Oh, my gosh. I just think Lauren would show up with a horseshoe crab, right? Like, she's got to have that. Oh, my God. What would the sun
Lauren reminds me of the girl who showed up with the mini horse, actually.
Oh, see? Okay.
But perfect. I like Lauren because Lauren has quickly become one of my favorite people just because her and Ben are both great straight people to the craziness that's around them. And so I loved, you know, Lauren this episode being like, fine, Cole, just keep talking. You're going to talk yourself into a hole anyway. I just love her sort of exasperated reaction to everything that's going on around her.
Every male bothers her, and I love it.
Well, I love that Lauren also, when she was talking about Jessica, saying, like, oh, she's a smart girl. She's not going to live in a van. When she's talking about Cole. Other those lights. Oh, and then Ben has this really great moment where he breaks the fourth wall, and it's when Dr. Mike drops the fish in the fire. He's, like, burning his hand or whatever, and Ben just looks back at the camera. Oh, it's...
But then he delivers this great line of, you lost it, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm so here for Ben calling Dr. Mike Doc.
I'm here for, if the final three best case scenario from my perspective, from a character perspective, is a Dr. Mike, Ben, Lauren final three, in my opinion.
I love that. Mm. Make that into a t-shirt for me and I'll wear it.
I'll somehow do that. I'll do like the Anne shirts like they did with the Matt Singh tribe. I'll do Ben and Lauren and Mike and that'll be it.
As long as it's made out of denim.
I want that so badly. Someone send that to my P.O. box. Just kidding.
That's perfect.
DM me and I'll give you my home address as long as you don't stalk me.
Oh, man. All right. Well, since I don't know anything about The Bachelor or Bachelorette, let's move on. Because we are now going to talk about our Hero, Healer, and Hustler Award of the Week. And we're actually going to add a special fourth award that we're going to call the Haley Award. And Haley, you're going to be in charge of giving this out at the end. But it's going to be the person who, and you can come up with the criteria, but it's either the person who you think most represents your behavior, or the person you most identify with. We'll leave the criteria up to you. We'll also be giving out the very coveted Haley Award.
We had to take advantage of the alliteration here, but I think you're our first H-named guest that we've had on here.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everyone.
We got very excited by alliteration. That and portmanteaus are like Mike and I's bread and butter, so we really just had to go with it.
Yeah, but not too much bread. That upsets my stomach.
Okay. Well, so let's give out the first award and the Hero Award of this week. Now, I was thinking about who I wanted to give this to, and I have to give it to JP for just being such a challenge beast. I mean, I think that, yeah, there's some concern about how he's going to do when when you get to the merge. But just, I mean, he has essentially won every challenge for that tribe, when they did win challenges. And he even, he throws Ryan around. He throws the bags of rice around. So, I mean, really, JP, I think, deserves the Hero Award.
I mean, that immunity challenge, which I'll also sort of pile on the praise for that immunity challenge. I know that Leon and I have talked about this, but I've said this a lot about this past season of Australian Survivor. No spoilers about it, but they do a really interesting job of sort of...
You can spoil me. I don't care. I've told you that.
There's a whole audience out there, Haley, of spoiler phobes. So
if they haven't watched it already, well, then that's their fault.
I'll whisper it to you on microphone. But basically, what I like about the challenges in particular there is that they really bring in aspects that you normally see in Survivor challenges, but like change them up a little bit. Like one example that is not really spoilerific, much to your chagrin, Haley, is they do this one challenge where it's an endurance challenge, but it's done in a tribe setting where they all stand in a line and they have to hold up discs between each other using their arms. And so it's an interesting take on sort of that hold on for as long as you can individual immunity challenge, but adapted for the tribal setting. And we got that exact same thing here. We got the typical try to spell immunity without, looking like a boob in front of America for spelling immunity wrong challenge. But at the same time, now there's sort of a team element where now you get to sort of like work together and see how you can keep everything going. And JP, I feel like he didn't necessarily falter there. So due to the fact that he wasn't really at, he was the complete reason why Soko won the first challenge, and he was not the reason why they lost the second challenge. I could agree with that.
You go, JP. Enjoy your fireman outfit without a shirt and your lobster. Okay, so Mike, who do you think deserves the healer award this week?
So, I mean, I know I usually have gone a little cheeky in the past couple of weeks with this, but I mean, considering that we had a legitimate medical situation on our hands, I feel like the healer has got to go to Dr. Mike. I know that him and Jessica were the ones to help him out, but at least from what we saw, Mike was there immediately to help him out, to have Cole put his legs up and all that stuff. I know that people were sort of musing that Cole might have been faking it in order to get more food. I legitimately do not think that's the case. And so I'm glad Mike was able to go into crisis mode there. But I mean, he also tried to heal the tribe through his fish catching abilities, as we saw at the beginning of the episode. He was able to heal the tribe through laughter when he dropped that fish into the fire and tried to pick it out. So he really is covering all his bases there.
Well, as Patch Adams taught us, laughter is the best medicine. So,
but it might not make for the best movies.
No. Well, it's so funny because this is, you know, I've been on airplanes before where they're like, you know, do we have a doctor on board? And I'm like, oh, me, but no, I'm not the useful kind. Like, I'm not a medical doctor. I just have a PhD. Aww.
So what do you think? What do you think Mike would say? Like, I got it. I'm a sex doctor, people.
I'm a sex doctor. I got it. Fainted, probably lack of blood flow. I know what to do here. Yeah, it would all work out. All right, Haley, you get to give out the next two awards. But let's start with the Hustler Award. Who do you think deserves, who is the best hustler this week?
I'm giving Cole the Hustler Award for finding new ways every week to get into Jessica's heart.
I'm glad you ended that sentence with heart.
Well, we know he's not getting into her pants anytime soon. Yeah, he fainted and she doted on him, and like, that's a hustler spirit. Like, he hustled his way into getting Jessica to like him more and an extra bowl of rice.
So is that a common like attraction technique that they use on The Bachelor or Bachelorette? Like, if you faint, will you get a rose?
Yeah, actually there's been lots of medical emergencies where it's like, in one season a girl had a major panic attack and the guy came to check on her, make sure she was okay, and she got a rose, and it's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here for me, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's actually happened quite a few times.
Okay, good to know. Note to self, if I ever need anything, I'll just fake some sort of medical emergency and then I'll get what I want. That's how that works, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. I like it. The other one that I had for the hustler was the ocean for messing up the reward challenge. And they had those like big swells and Jeff kept talking about them. Okay, but now the most important award, obviously, the Haley Award.
Wow, this is a lot of pressure.
Who do you, I know, I mean, this has your namesake, so it's very important. Who do you think deserves the Haley Award?
God, there's a couple options, like Allie in her final words being like, why did he do that? Why? Like, why did that happen? Or the yellow team stack falling right before they won second place and didn't have to go to tribal. I feel like
what,
that
the stack is you?
Yeah, the stack is me falling down right before the finish line.
It was a medical emergency.
So just so we're aware, you're choosing between the person who was voted out or a stack of non-sentient inanimate blocks that spell the word immunity.
Yeah, or the pizzas.
Or the, right. Well,
I'm giving it to the pizzas. Yeah. I'm giving it to the stack of 10 pizzas. That gets the Haley Award.
Yeah, that one fell over for a different reason. It fell into their stomachs.
Got shotgunned. Okay, all right. Well, congratulations, pizza, for winning the coveted Haley Award.
Well, it's not often. It's like once a season that we can talk about Survivor pizza. So I feel like we need to dote on the occasion. So I feel like giving it an award is quite proper. So as we spoke about, this past week was Halloween. And our question of the week dealt with Halloween costumes based on Survivor that we will get to after this. But first, the Survivor contestants of past and present also decided to celebrate by dressing up in costumes. This is something that Kurt Clark has done a lot with Rob in previous shows. He has been able to give us the opportunity to bring it here to the B&B today. Haley, what's going to happen is I'm going to mention a Survivor contestant and give you four possible choices of costumes they wore for Halloween this year. It is your job to guess which one of them is true. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, I just need one clarification. Is it Halloween or is it Haleyween?
That's true. That's true.
Haleyween is better.
Do you consent to Haleyween?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. All right. Let's start the costumes with, from the Dirty 30, Joaquin Subrabil. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Joaquin dressed up as a character from an iconic 90s cartoon movie. What did he dress up as, Haley? A. Aladdin from Aladdin. B. Bugs Bunny from Space Jam. C. Hercules from Hercules. D. Tarzan from Tarzan.
If you would have offered me $1 million to guess what his last name was, I would have said Benoit every time. But now I realize I'm pretty sure that's a baseball player.
You learn things new every day. And so this is Tarzan from the movie Tarzan, not Tarzan like Tarzan on Survivor.
Yes.
What was the question? I'm going to say Aladdin.
You're going to say Aladdin?
Aladdin.
Incorrect. The correct answer is Bugs Bunny from the movie Space Jam.
That's literally the last one I would have picked because I would have figured he wanted to show off his abs in every Halloween costume.
That was my logic, too. I'm sure he found out a way to do that with the Bugs Bunny costume. Ew.
Ew. Oh, yeah. Some Bugs Bunny abs. Delish. All right. Let's move on into another sort of nostalgia thread here. Corinne Kaplan dressed up as an iconic teenage character from a film. Which character did she dress up as? A. Cher from Clueless. B. Claire from The Breakfast Club. C. Veronica from Heathers. D. Regina George from Mean Girls. Now, Haley, these are all movies, just so you know. I know you're not very well studied in the realm of film.
I actually have seen two of those movies.
Okay, that's not bad, statistics-wise.
Yeah, 50%'s not bad.
No, it's not. These get degrees, you know? Not for Liana with the PhD, but...
Well, it's got a D in there.
I'm going to go with Cher.
That is correct. Corinne dressed up as Cher from Clueless. I thought I'd throw you off with a Regina George, considering Corinne might be known as one of the more Mean Girl-like Survivor alumni out there. But no, she decided to opt for the Alicia Silverstone, probably her most famous role out there. As we move into question three, Eliza Orlins. Eliza, ever up to date with current events, dressed up as something that was based out of, you know, the news cycle.
Is it going to make me scoff at her? Because I do love scoffing at Eliza. Ugh.
Well, she based on a general concept and tried to represent it in physical form. Which concept did she dress up as? A. The spirit of capitalism. B. The effects of climate change. C. Oh my God. The ghost of war. D. The death of America.
Wow.
I always go as metaphors for Halloween. I just think it's, you know, it's always fun.
Yeah, people definitely get it and never feel depressed when they look at you. This is horrific. I just want to remind you that I am Canadian. So that has nothing to do with this, really. I just want to be like, I'm Canadian, so.
just a nice little plug for your country of origin.
So the death of America doesn't really resonate with me because I'm looking over here from the sidelines being like, what's up, eh? Anyway, I'm stuck between climate change and death of America. Oh, God, I could see her doing either of those things and really pretentiously at that. Give me death of America.
You went with your gut, and your gut was correct. The death of America, Eliza dressed up as. I won't try to describe it. Essentially,
Why
she dressed
you
up as
describe
the,
it to me though.
She dressed up as the Statue of Liberty, and she got some gory makeup on. She had her throat cut. Her gown is festooned with blood. She has a few abrasions on her face. So that is her representation of the death of America.
Hmm. I was a very impressionable child when I was younger. And I had one of my teachers one time, he made some comment in class because he was like, he was very much a hippie. And he said that, you know, there's nothing scarier than an exponential curve representing population growth. So for Halloween, I went as an exponential curve because it was scary representing population growth. So I can applaud the effort.
Yeah, it's very scary as it was. I think that was, did that math joke work?
Yeah. That's good.
I just went as Hermione every year.
Hermione.
My knee.
All right, let's move on to question four. You're on a good streak so far, Haley. Teresa T. Bird Cooper and her husband did a couple's outfit that some might say was a little too soon.
Who did
they dress up as? A, Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker. B, James Bond and Octopussy, referencing Roger Moore's recent death. C, Hugh Hefner and a Playboy bunny. D, Adam West as Batman and Robin.
Hugh Hefner and the bunny.
That is correct. Very quick. What tipped you off to that?
Your inflection.
Ooh, I gave it away without even realizing it. I can't be JP.
Yeah, it also just kind of, it seems like it makes the most sense almost, because you said like too soon. I'm like, that's the most too soon. And I don't know.
Well, I was going to go, would you have guessed my random choice of E, which was Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin?
No, sorry.
All right, I'm glad I left it off then.
Yeah, I don't think Haley's seen that movie.
What about Jerry Lewis and his cousin? His cousin wife.
His cousin's coming.
All right, let's move on to our next question here. You're 3-for-1 right now, three for four, I should say. Andrea Belke committed very hard to her costume. She dressed up as a particular woodland creature to the point of where she covered her face in makeup, complete with a nice smoky eye. What woodland creature did she dress up as? A, squirrel. B, fox. C, skunk. D, deer.
I'm shocked you know what a smoky eye is.
I guessed. I thought you might call me out on it if it wasn't a smoky eye.
It might not actually be a smoky eye then.
I'm going to go deer.
You are running hot right now, like Cole's temperature. Deer is correct. She has a very nice set of antlers complete with some flower garlands around it. So good on you, Andrea. Very committed as she usually is with her People Pen Forum, which actually featured Josh Wiggler this past week, which is a lot of fun. On the other side of the spectrum, we have people who commit to their costumes and some who may not. Russell Hance, who the CBS website once referred to as one other person. It seemed like he sort of hit the...
What? Where? How?
So brief tangent, there was a slideshow. We always talk about the CBS.com slideshows here on the B&B. There was a, like the 20... things you might not know about Survivor a few weeks ago, and one of them was the most idols found. Rob sort of poked fun at this the past couple of shows that he's done, and it says the most idols found were three by Tony Vlachos, Ty Trang, and one other person.
That's so funny.
But Russell decided to do the bare minimum of technically dressing up and took a picture of himself in his car just wearing one costume piece on top of his head. What was that one costume piece? A, a top hat. B, a blonde wig. C, a tiara. D, a baby bonnet.
Ugh.
All of those make me uncomfy. But the one that makes me the most uncomfy is the baby bonnet. So I'm going to go with that.
Unfortunately, your most uncomfy choice is not the correct one. Russell put on a blonde wig and took a selfie of himself with it.
That was my second choice.
How'd you come up with baby bonnet as an option?
I have no idea. I reached into the creative recesses of my brain, but
maybe you should shut that off.
I listen. It's been like at full throttle since we've started the B&B. If my Cole is young Willy Wonka theory is any indication, I liked Russell's choice of the blonde wig just because it makes me think he's doing Natalie White cosplay, which makes me very happy.
Ooh, I love that.
Aww. I mean, Macy didn't dress up as a pirate. Didn't he apply to be on Pirate Master or whatever that weird show was?
He did, yes. Yeah. So maybe that was just like an alternate universe. Russell could dress up like a pirate all he wants to after he presumably wins that booty at the end. let's finish things off. Haley, you've already technically won. There were 7 questions and you answered 4 correctly. But let's see if you can end on 5-2 here. Johnny Fairplay, of course, is now a family man. Him and his family went as a trio of themed costumes, with himself playing a character who is known for his more insane quirks. So what happens is I'm going to read the theme, and then I'll read each of the 3 costumes, and this represents Johnny Fairplay, his mate, and their child. A, Alice in Wonderland. Johnny Fairplay dressed up as the Mad Hatter. She dressed up as the Cheshire Cat and the White Rabbit. B, Breaking Bad. Fairplay was Walter White. She was Skylar White, and the baby was Jesse Pinkman. C, The Shining. Johnny Fairplay was Jack Torrance. She was Wendy Torrance, and the baby was an axe. Or D, Batman. Johnny Fairplay was Joker. She was Harley Quinn, and the baby was Batman.
I'm going to go with Alice in Wonderland, because that's like the weird one, but also like not horrifying for a child.
Yeah, I thought I could get you, because Johnny Fairplay, maybe the old Johnny Fairplay could be horrifying. Do dress his child up in a horrifying manner, but not the new Johnny Fairplay. Alice in Wonderland is correct. It's the least, the most tame out of these four options. I really hope you would have guessed the baby axe with the Shining set, but unfortunately you evaded my tricks once again.
I like that none of them were Alice, though.
No, I mean, they were all the crazy characters. No one wants to be Alice. No one wants to be the straight person in that scenario.
That's true. That's always boring.
Well, congratulations, Haley. You have officially guessed a majority of Survivor alumni costumes correct. That has to mean something in your book somewhere.
I think so. I have some pumpkins outside that I could smash in jubilation.
Woo, yes.
Call yourself Billy Corgan, because you can smash some pumpkins after this.
She's just a rat in a cage.
Well, let's let the rat out of the cage. That is the question of the week. In the Halloween spirit, last week's question of the week is, what is the spookiest Survivor Halloween costume you can think of? As always, I'll read off some of the answers that you listeners gave, and then we'll go around the horn and give our own answers. First, from Will Holston, the scariest Survivor costume is clearly Michael Spookin.
Yeah, talk about something being too soon.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he had another sentence that I left out of there.
Another sentence like the one that Mike Scoopin has to do in jail.
Oh.
I like Michael Spookin, though, because it reminds me of sort of like back in the days before, you know, events came about. Michael Spookin could be like a take on David S. Pumpkins.
Oh my gosh, yes! And he's got his, like, dancing boars in the background, like the skeleton boars.
Yes, dancing dead boars.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Muggle Spookin'. Do your research!
Actually, okay, so I was... That song that plays when the David Pumpkin skit happens, I had that stuck in my head, and I was like, I'm gonna make my sister listen to this. So I sent her, like, an hour-long loop of that song on YouTube. So that holds a very special place in my heart.
Are you going to remix that with The Number That Remains to create the most annoying sound ever?
Oh my goodness, I have a new project. Thanks, Mike.
Let's move on. Kirsten McKenna says, the scariest Survivor Halloween costume is hands down Jessica Lewis's pink eyes. Now, Jessica Lewis, I didn't include her in the quiz, but she went full Carrie and just covered herself in blood for her Halloween costume. Though I think her kids might have gone as her on Survivor, ironically enough.
That's funny. That's dedication. I am way too lazy to put that much effort into any sort of costume. Like, I always appreciated, you know, on The Office, if you could do Jim's costume where he's like the hole punch.
Three hole punch Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my level of aesthetic when it comes to Halloween costumes.
Yeah. I've been rocking the same. I bought a pack of four cat ear headbands from Target about 3 years ago, and I've been wearing those every year since.
Your last name is hyphenated. It's Haley Kappenberg Grande. Who knew?
Actually, I did do that one year. I did like an Ariana Grande one because of the cat ears.
Makes sense.
The great Shannon Gates, the aforementioned Shannon Gates, said, my Survivor Halloween costume is the thing that haunts my nightmares. Cerise non-transferable advantage.
Oh, me too, Shannon. Me too.
Is that too soon for you, Liana?
That one is too soon for me. I still dream of it.
Gregory McBean says, my scary Survivor themed Halloween costume is Boo from Survivor Fiji, because I mean, his name is Boo. That's pretty scary.
I like it. It's very literal.
Oh,
and then, again,
gosh.
Much like Three Hole Punch Jim, sometimes the literal sense is often the best types of costumes. Michael O'Rear Butler Jr. says, forget Debbie's tiger bathing suit. I will dress up as a tiger wearing a Debbie bathing suit.
Ooh, that's,
I love that.
Is it some weird like Inception-y thing or no?
Well, you mean like the tiger wearing the Debbie wearing the tiger bathing suit?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he just keeps building. It could be very complicated.
I like that. The Hall of Mirrors. Dominic Malpietti says, my creepy Survivor costume would be a soulless zombie Patrick with several demonic pocket crabs and a vampire roctopus.
That's actually kind of terrifying. Like, soulless zombie Patrick? That's scary in and of itself.
And well, he is a banshee, though. I mean, is it a little? Are we conflating things a little bit with him being a zombie in this case and calling himself a wild banshee on the show?
Oh, can you be a soulless banshee? Is that a thing?
I'm not sure. I'm not up on my banshee lore. I do like the vampire octopus because it implies that it was just a regular octopus that was a vampire that walked out into the sun and turned to stone.
I think I have a copy of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them around here to look up some banshee shit.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that right would
now. Banshee Cast is on right after the RR Dad Still Alive podcast here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. And to finish things off, John Tinkham says, the scariest Survivor-themed Halloween costume would be to go as John Carroll's urchin-pricked, urine-soaked tan. Unlike Kathy, people will not be running to see this one.
I like that you go as the whole hand. Like, not just John Carroll with the hand, but, like, you go as the hand.
But, like, how would you show, I guess, do you have, like, an urchin needle sticking out of it and maybe a sound box is consistently playing John Carroll saying, I need someone to pee on me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but is it? But if it's urine-soaked, you know... Like, then that's true. After, so...
It's the after effect, yeah. Right, instead of the before. I guess, I don't know which part is spookier, the before or the after.
I'm pretty sure the urine is pretty scary.
Don't tell that to Dr. Mike.
That's right, yeah, I know. Sorry, Dr. Mike. If there was a giant hand that was walking towards me that was soaked in urine, I'm pretty sure I'd run away.
You're in trouble if that starts walking towards you.
Yes!
You're here to stay now, Haley. You've officially become one of us.
One of us! One of us!
One of us!
Haley, what is your spookiest Survivor costume?
I would say a haunted version of the truck. Yao Man gave to dreams.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Joel from Survivor Micronesia. That was his nickname, right? Truck.
He is terrifying.
Yeah, just dragging zombie Chet around. But I love that. They like the haunted truck, pickup truck that Yao Man gave dreams in exchange for individual immunity that he reneged on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then, I mean, it makes sense that you could go as any one of the haunted cars. I mean, that's a car curse, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I like that. Is that your choice, Liana?
I was trying to think. I was like, what is the most terrifying thing if you were on Survivor? And given the collapse that we had this week when Cole fainted, I was thinking Dr. Joe. I would go as Dr. Joe.
Oh, interesting. So this would be like one of your extended three appearances that you get to do before you get overtime.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then I feel like I should get some bonus for going outside and going to a party. So that's
yeah, definitely
much
get bonus points for leaving your home.
Thank you. Yes.
That's very true. I was in the same realm as Haley. I was thinking about like what's the scariest thing to Survivor fans. And I went in honor of last week's boot and maybe even this week's boot, I'm going as the robbed G. Otis.
Yes.
I don't know if that means like I'll wear like a suit with pictures of like Michelle Yee from Fiji.
Wow. Like Stephanie LaGrossa.
Stephanie LaGrossa from Heroes versus Villains. I don't know, like Jackie from Survivor Gabon. Like all of those like pre-merge to merge to middle of merge females that the fan community absolutely loves. I feel like that would be the spookiest thing to a hardcore Survivor fan.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. I love that plan.
I might have to
maybe
implement
do
this
that
next year. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like if I actually get like my shit together and decide to actually have a Halloween costume, that might be something I'll steal.
All right. Next week's question of the week. We mentioned it before. JP, well, he did not open up much about himself in terms of strategy. He did open up briefly to talk about his ideal first date, which involved a ballpark, bonfire on the beach with some tri-tip salad just to finish off the night and a trunk full of wood, as was mentioned before. Your question of the week this week, I want you to name a Survivor contestant and what their optimal first date would be like. So you have a number of ways to give this answer to us. You can always reach out to us on Twitter using the hashtag RHAPBNB, and that's B, the letter N, the letter B. You can also respond in the post in the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon group. You can also respond to it on Reddit or on the post on the website. You have a bunch of ways to get to us. We are so thankful for all the responses that we've gotten so far. These have been so much fun to read, and I'm excited to see what creative date ideas these guys come up with in the next week, as we will be answering this question next week with the great Colin Stone will be joining us on the B&B.
Wow. Colin.
Uh-oh. Oh, I was going to say, is that a good wow or a bad wow?
The stone's just going to be rolling in.
Yes. A rolling stone will hopefully gather some moss. As Colin will also be, we might have some stories as we go into the B&B about the live Survivor Know-It-Alls, which is happening here next week in New York City. Colin will be there. I'll be there as well. If you're a fan of the B&B, or if you think we're absolutely ridiculous, or both, I'd love to have you come over and say hi, and we could talk all about random shenanigans around Survivor. It's going to be super exciting. There's a movie theater that's rented out to watch this episode and have some fantastic guests on. So I'm really excited to have a bunch of people in to watch an episode of Survivor. Haley, you'll be missed fondly. You were here at the last Survivor Know-It-Alls, as we talked about at the beginning of the podcast.
I was. I'm not making it this time around, but tweet me and tell me how much you miss me being there, because that'll make me feel good about myself, because I get serious FOMO.
How can people reach out to you on social media if they want to find out the snacks you're chatting about or anything else under the sun?
You can find me all over the internet on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrung_. My Snapchat is hstrung28, so snap me your snacks. Or you can Google my name and find stuff about me.
Yeah, I don't know if you want that. You want to encourage people Googling your name?
Just don't go to my LinkedIn.
Yeah, don't go to my professional profile.
Yeah, no one view that.
Haley Strong, thanks so much for coming on to the B&B and indulging in all of our food-related nonsense and otherwise. You can always follow Liana on Twitter at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. You can follow me on Twitter at @MikeBloomType. Check out all the exit interviews I'm doing with Parade Magazine, as well as the SNL recaps I do on post-show recaps. I started watching Stranger Things Season 2 on the Jay and Jack podcast. I've been loving it. We're covering Season 2 two episodes at a time. I watched The Babadook for AJ Mass, who just recently appeared with Rob a couple of days ago for The Hamster Factor. I disliked the heck out of it, but I'm sure it made for fun podcasting, so check that out. But yeah, this is, even though we're moving into the second half of the game, B&B is still a work in progress. So if you have any thoughts about games you might want us to do, things you might want us to talk about or not talk about, feel free to reach out to us. We also have an email for maybe longer term questions or suggestions. That's RHAPBNB. And again, B, the letter N, the letter B, @gmail.com. A special thanks to Shannon Gates once again, and Shut Up Tim, who came up with the ideas for the Halloween quiz game and Snap or Scrap this week, as well as Paul Osselson, who is always working behind the scenes, who is actually on the voicemails this week with Rob. So be sure to check that out. Also, special thanks to Scott St. Pierre, as always, for working behind the scenes. We will see you after Live Know-It-Alls, after the merge, as we break everything down with Colin Stone. But for now, Haley, thank you so much again for coming on. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.